Don't take any wooden nickels, that's what they say, or at least that's what they used to say. But if you happen to be anywhere around North Bend, Oregon, and someone offers you a wooden $10 bill, you take that sucker right away, because it's probably worth hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. I gotta tell you the story of the wooden $10 bills of North Bend, Oregon, in just a minute here. My name is Finn J.D. John, and you're listening to me reading you an archive column from the weekly newspaper column that I write, Offbeat Oregon History. I do this every weekday morning, and of course, if you subscribe, you already know that. If you haven't subscribed to this podcast and want more info about it, it is free to subscribe, of course. Stay tuned, or you can see offbeatoregon.com. Today's column was first published on August 29th, 2010, under the headline, When Banks Closed, Town of North Bend Minted Its Own Money Out of Wood. Goes a little like this. In early February 1933, the mayor and city council of North Bend, Oregon, had a big problem on their hands. It was, of course, the depth of the Great Depression. Former Oregonian Herbert Hoover was still president, but he'd been voted out of office 3 months earlier and was the lamest of lame ducks. Banks were closing and collapsing apace as nervous depositors flocked to withdraw their funds. One of those banks was the only bank in North Bend, the First National. It wasn't insolvent, but it soon would have been if it had stayed open, so it locked its doors. Bankers promised they'd reopen soon. For the city government in North Bend, this meant making payroll was going to be a tough trick. To get by until the bank reopened, Mayor Edgar McDaniel and local businessman Irvin Ross came up with a plan. They'd mint their own currency. The business Ross worked for, Duncan's Myrtlewood Crofters, would cut hundreds of coin-shaped discs of myrtlewood, and Harold McDaniel would print the designs chosen on these blanks using his father's newspaper press. The finished coins would then be hand-painted with shellac to protect the finish, and they'd be ready to use. By the way, this was illegal, technically, under the U.S. Constitution, which reserves the right to mint coinage to the federal government alone. But under the circumstances, nobody was going to mind. Something had to be done, and the city was following the spirit of the law by making no effort to establish a competing currency. This was strictly a temporary measure. A popular joking admonition of the time was, "Don't take any wooden nickels." That might be why the city didn't make any. Denominations ranged from 25 cents up to $10. Now, $10 in 1933 was worth more than $150 in today's money. It's hard to imagine someone handing over $150 worth of merchandise in exchange for a quarter-inch thick piece of wood that the city promises to back with cash someday, especially at a time when institutions both public and private were going bankrupt left and right. Yet if anyone did refuse to recognize this new money, I've been unable to find any record of it. In fact, the businesses seem to be clamoring for it. North Bend issued two printings of $1,000 each, the second one using a different design so that fewer of the coin blanks would break under the weight of the press. Within a few months, the city had enough cash to redeem all the coins, but by then they developed a special cachet, and many people were reluctant to give them up. After making several appeals to coin holders to bring them in and swap them for greenbacks, the city gave up the quest and announced that the Myrtlewood money would remain legal tender in the city of North Bend forever. Anytime someone wanted to cash some in, the money would be ready. And until a few dozen years ago, this happened from time to time. But the coins have become rare enough to interest collectors, and now they're worth considerably more than their face value. Particularly desirable are the $10 coins, which, because they represented a large amount of money, were far more likely to be redeemed for cash in the early 1930s when the city was still destroying redeemed coins. As for complete sets of all 10, five from each printing run, fewer than 10 survive, probably fewer than five. One of them is in a collection at the Chase Manhattan Bank in New York, which acquired them as soon as they were minted. Because these sets almost never change hands, fixing a value is impossible. But one thing is for sure, if you bring one into City Hall, they'll give you $35.75 for it. Face value. That's it for today. You've been listening to an archive column from the Offbeat Oregon History newspaper column. If you'd like more, there's a couple dozen more of these audio columns on iTunes, and they'll pop right up if you do a search for Oregon under podcasts. While you're there, do me a favor and write a quick review of these podcasts. Little podcasts like this get noticed by getting reviewed by listeners. There are also hundreds of columns in text and pictures forms going back to 2008 on our website, offbeatoregon.com. On that website, you can also subscribe to this podcast or its text equivalent, so they'll be delivered straight to your smartphone via RSS. You can also use links to the Facebook page and Twitter feed and join the conversation online. All the columns are covered under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Details at offbeatoregon.com/cc. And if you're ever up in Corvallis, drop me a line. I love geeking out with fellow history buffs, and especially over good coffee or Irish stout. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. One more thing. I've got like a week before my book comes out, on June 5th, and if you like this column, chances are pretty good that you'll like the book. It's called Wicked Portland, The Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town, and I'd like to invite you to check it out. The webpage is up at wicked-portland.com. Your local library will probably have a copy, and if they don't, well, you might suggest they get one. Anyway, if you do check it out, let me know what you think. That's all I got. So thanks for listening, and have a great day.